You're listening to the Modern Professional Podcast. I'm your host, Lawyer Britt. I launched my firm using nothing but my laptop and social media, signing 100 clients in my first 100 days, proving that we can ditch boring and traditional to become successful modern professionals.
Welcome back to another episode of the Modern Professional Podcast. I'm your host, Lawyer Britt. And this is Running My Business from Italy, Part 2. If you haven't listened to Part 1, go listen to Part 1. I recorded Part 1 before I went away to Italy for 2 weeks with my fiancé, and I discussed how I've set up my company and my systems to allow me to be able to go away for 2 weeks and run my business from Italy. When you're a business owner, when you're a CEO, when you own and run a company, you don't get PTO. There is no such thing as just totally, completely unplugging, in my opinion. Yes, you can set up systems so that you're not doing the day-to-day, you're not making all these decisions, you're not handling the emergencies, but at the end of the day, everything comes down to you. You are running the business, you are the face of the business, you are responsible for the business, so you need to be available for the business to be able to run. But that doesn't mean you have to be glued to your computer, that you can't enjoy yourself, that you can't go do the things you want to do. You can set up your company in a way that you can run it from literally anywhere. And in the beginning of May, I was running it from Italy. And honestly, it went amazing. It went really amazing. And once I tell you what actually happened, you're going to say, Britt, that doesn't sound amazing. That sounds insane. But it really was incredible. It really did work out so well. My team did amazing. They made great decisions. They served the clients well. We made money. You know, in part one, I talked about how I've set this up. You know, I built my business with the intention of being the CEO. I removed myself from the day-to-day. I knew that I didn't want to be the person making all the minute decisions. So I hired trusted senior team members to make decisions for the company. I created communication systems and procedures so the business could run without me making every decision. If you're a bottleneck in your own business, you're the one that's reviewing and doing everything, and it's hard. It feels hard when you're the bottleneck because it all comes down to you rather than having other flows where other people can follow your processes and your procedures and think about things from your value and your reasoning standpoints to do things without you. It works so well. I did do a test run, and I talked about this in part one, where I did a technical test run when I went with my fiance to Aspen in the beginning of March of 2022. And so I went away from Tuesday to Saturday, so it's through the work week, and we kind of tested out things we needed to tweak, you know, people making decisions, who was involved in what. And that improved when I went away to Italy for 2 weeks in the beginning of May. It really did go really well. But I'm going to tell you about a really surprising, well, actually three really big surprising events that happened when I was gone. I always believe, I mean, truly firmly believe that everything is working out in my favor and everything will work out well, even if something seems like it's not. In the moment, I know that it's always going to work out for the better. And so when I was in Italy, I left on a Thursday. We arrived in Italy on a Friday. My birthday was that Sunday that we were there. And this was just the first like 3 days that we're there, right? So on that Friday that I got to Italy, I had an email from a team member super late at night. Well, late for here, not necessarily for Italy, but I had an email saying that one of my attorneys was quitting. And it kind of came out of left field. I didn't really see that one coming. But again, you know, I always believe things are working out in my favor, just as I believe people will always make the decisions that they need to make that are best for them. I'm not going to fault anybody for wanting to quit or move or do something else. It was for personal reasons. So I totally understood it. And then on Sunday evening, Sunday evening, but I wasn't checking my emails, so really Monday morning, opened up another email from another team member saying she was also giving notice, again, for personal reasons. Something I may have thought would possibly come but didn't really see coming. So two key team members had quit within a matter of basically 48 hours. And I didn't panic. I really didn't panic. My fiance was just like, whoa, like what's going on? What's going to happen? Blah, blah, blah. But I truly, like, I've worked on this mindset and I've worked on really knowing that everything is going to work out for me. I've figured it out. I figured everything out thus far, right? Like, this isn't going to be the one thing that brings me down after doing all of everything I do and making all these decisions and growing this company in the last almost 2 years. Like, this isn't going to be the one thing that faults me and brings us down. It's just not. Like, I've thought that in the past about small, minute things. And then I look back and I'm like, why did I ever think that was a big deal? It was a big deal in the moment, a lot of those things. But I've come used to the idea that I can always figure it out and that I'm not going to fault anybody for making a decision that's right for them. Because in the past, when I've given notice for jobs, I have struggled over it because, like, you know, millennial over here, I want everybody to like me and please people and all that jazz. And then plus, you know, you don't want to break a relationship. You don't want to burn a bridge for no reason. But in the same time, you need to make the decisions that are right for your life. You can't let that hold you back. And so there are times when I've struggled so much over giving notice to other jobs and times when I've given notice and I thought it was going to go well and it did not, and someone did not take it well at all. And I felt terrible, which I shouldn't have because I was making the decision for me and not for them, as everybody should. And so I told myself when I started hiring team members that I was going to not ever do that. I was never going to make anybody feel guilty. I was never going to talk badly about them, nothing like that. And so when these team members gave notice, I said, you know, I totally understand. I'm sad to see you go. You can always count on me for a good reference or help in the future. I wish you the best of luck. Let's create a plan for your exit. Because they did give me 2 weeks notice and I did keep them on for 2 weeks. I know some people are like, no, like fire them right away. Like, I didn't see any malice in their actions. So I decided, yeah, let's create a plan so we can offboard you and prepare things to the next person. So that's what I did. I made the transition as easy as possible for us and for them because I wanted the end to be amicable in all ways and easy for the rest of the team as well because I didn't want them to just have to scramble around to pick up the slack. So we created a plan. They executed greatly. They are now in their new positions and we now have new team members. I always have new people in mind. I'm always meeting people. I'm always talking with opposing counsels or talking with other lawyers. And so I always kind of have like a little thing in the back of my mind, like, maybe we could bring this person on. You know, maybe this person would work out well. So the next day after I got notice from the first person, I contacted the one person, well, the top person, if you will, that I had in mind. And I said, hey, let's talk. And I ended up hiring that new person, that new attorney. They're now part of our firm doing awesomely, really, really awesome. So again, it's always working out. It's fortunate that I've been able to, you know, have these plans and procedures and kind of things in place. So I wasn't just like, oh my God, I need to find somebody brand new right away. But I mean, I did need to find somebody brand new because I only really had one person in mind that I wanted to extend an offer to. So I did need to find a new team member. But again, this is all happening while I'm trying to enjoy being in Italy. It's my third and fourth day that I'm like, okay, now I've got to create a plan. But I wasn't like dealing with this, but then also dealing with all the minutiae and the day-to-day of the company at the same time. Because if I was doing everything all at once, that's a lot. That was a lot. And then I'm also trying to enjoy myself. I had plans. I rented a yacht and we rented a car and we drove around. And I mean, I went everywhere in Italy and I wanted to enjoy myself and I had all these things planned. So I wasn't going to let my newly found challenges of finding new team members impede that. So I was able to still run my business smoothly, seamlessly, while people were transitioning out and were transitioning in new people from a different country because I had all of the systems in place and I had the team members in place. So this is proof that no matter what happens in your business, you can run a business and travel at the same time, which is a huge, 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 huge reason that I started my own firm in the first place. I mean, there's tons of reasons I started my own firm, you know, obviously flexible time freedom, but also wanting to serve clients in the way that I wanted to, wanting to set up the kind of systems and procedures I thought the legal field was just completely lacking. So there are a lot of reasons, but a large reason was that I wanted to be able to travel with my family, my friends, and my fiance. I love traveling. Like, some people like to go out. Some people like to buy certain things. Some people have hobbies. They like to golf or whatever. I like to travel. Like, that is my thing. That's what I love to do. So I always plan it. And I just knew that if I set up my business so that I was the CEO instead of having, you know, instead of being self-employed, that I would be able to travel and run my company at the same time. And it worked. It worked so well. It's so possible when you take the time, especially if you are just starting out or you have an inkling of like, oh, I want to start my own business, but like, I don't know, blah, blah, blah. It's going to be all this time. Take that time up front and like create it the way that it aligns with your lifestyle and what you want. Okay, raise your hand if you hate awkward networking events. Yes, yes, me too. Archaic, outdated, and honestly not the best ROI. Now, raise your hand if you hate spending tons and tons of money on advertising or if you don't have any money to spend on it. Yep, I was also there. I bootstrapped my law firm with savings. No big marketing budget. What I did have was social media. I posted content on free social media platforms to build my company to $1.78 million in revenue in the first full year. This alone should be the light bulb in your head that gets you to take action to create content seriously so you can start your business or grow your business or even just grow a book of business. But I get it. You don't have time. Or you feel awkward and embarrassed to post or be on video. That's okay. I've been there too. That's why I'm hosting the Accelerated Content Workshop, to show you how I finally got over myself to create and post a week of converting content in just 1 hour. Interested? I know you are. Head over to lawyerbritt.co/workshop to learn. That's lawyerbritt.co/workshop. If you want to be able to just stop working at 3 so you can pick up your kids and hang out with them until 6 or 7, you can do that. Like, you can have that in place because you can have processes, procedures, team members, expectations that your people know you're not available at that time. I have a very good friend who's an attorney and she has 2 very young children. And it is just known by all of her clients that from 4 to 7 is family time. She does not work. You will not get a call. That's it. And to be honest, like, a lot of what we do, her and I, but a lot of what most professionals do, nothing's like a true emergency. Like, it's not like somebody needs open heart surgery to save them right then and there. I mean, if you're a doctor, yes, you are there doing that, but not so much for what we do. You know what I mean? People come to me, they've already had the problem. And plus, I do have team members in place to handle those things. So it's very possible to set your own schedule, have your expectations set of this is how I want to live my life. This is how I'm going to set up my company to align with that. It's so doable. And I just wish more people would take the leap to just try it. Just try it. Many people were wondering about my work schedule when I was away, because like I said, there's no true unplug, not to me anyway. There are people that say, oh yeah, like you can totally unplug. Yes, you can if you have a team and procedures, etc. in place. But I just feel the responsibility of my company so strongly that I almost don't want to unplug, because again, the buck stops with me. Like, any big, huge decisions or like enormous fires or just somebody really needs me, I'm going to be available. Again, I've set the expectation that don't come to me for some other things if it can wait. You know, there's certain parameters of when I can be, you know, notified, etc. And really, it's with more senior team members and they'll know when to reach out to me, when not to reach out to me. For example, when both of my previous team members quit, I got on with my director of legal services and we created a plan together. So that's the kind of thing where it's like, hey, this needs to be done. I'm doing it now. There's no like, hey, figure it out when I'm back, or hey, you know, you figure it out because you're my so-and-so. No. Everything is my responsibility utmost at the top. So I did work when I was in Italy. I mean, beyond just the creating a transition for my ex to new team members, I did work. I would wake up and, you know, check some emails, messages. If there was something that was only sent to me, And I do this when I'm home as well. But if there's an email that's only sent to me from somebody outside my company, I'll forward it to the correct person that needs to handle it or can handle it for me. You know, I don't need to respond to every single email. I have people in place that can do things. But if someone's CC'd on it, if I see that the correct person or somebody that can forward it to the correct person is CC'd, I don't respond. I don't forward it. I know that they're going to get it done. Because again, that's the expectations that I'm setting. So if it's already delegated for me, meaning if somebody's already copied the right person, then I don't need to get involved. I didn't have any meetings scheduled because it was too difficult with the time difference, doing activities, you know. I would have hated, it's 6 hours ahead there, and I would have hated to like have, you know, something really early and I couldn't do a morning activity or another, would have to stop what I was doing during the day so I could have a meeting or a call or something like that. So it was very difficult. So I didn't have anything scheduled. If I was there longer, so my fiance and I have toyed with the idea of going away somewhere for a month or two. And if you're away for that amount of time where you don't need to be doing every day because you're not limited in your time, I would definitely have meetings scheduled. I might only have them on a certain day or only have them at a certain time, but I would definitely do it because in that kind of instance, you're not go, go, go all the time. You have a little more flexibility in what you're doing. So in that case, yeah, I probably would have, but not for the 2 weeks that we were there because we were go, go, go. We went to like five different places, all sorts of activities planned, which I love to do. I love to do activities and explore. So I didn't want anything to impede that. And I did check Slack and email a few times in the afternoon as well. So email, maybe not as much. So like I said, I woke up and I checked emails. I always check Slack like multiple times a day, even when I'm home. And well, obviously when I'm home, even when I'm on a trip or going somewhere, I'm always in Slack because again, like I've said in many podcast episodes before, like I said in the first part of Running My Business from Italy episode, I keep all internal communications in Slack. Unless someone's forwarding an email, you do not send an email within the organization. Everybody is talking to each other and my company is talking on Slack so that you know if someone's messaging on Slack, it is somebody in the company and it's probably important, right? And if someone's tagging you, definitely important. So I check Slack all the time. If somebody needs me, I'll check Slack. If it's in a big channel where there are multiple people, I think actually I only checked our main one twice a day, morning and evening, because there's a lot of people in there, you know, a lot of people talking back and forth in those channels. If somebody directly messaged me, I checked it as soon as I saw it, right? And I determined how important it was that I needed to respond to do it right then. If not, it was something like, hey, this is, you know, I'll do this tomorrow or I'll do this later today, or just give them some kind of delegatory answer. So I was checking Slack often because, again, those are my people. And like I've established, I take care of my people. I didn't feel like I was constantly on my phone, though. I didn't feel like I was constantly working. I was really intentional about what's important, what's urgent, what do I need to do versus what can someone else do, what can wait. So getting clear on like priority, and it probably, if you are feeling like, oh my God, I can't go away because I have so much to do and I have to do all these things and this person can't do that and blah, 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 you need to take a step back and go to part one of Running My Business from Italy, because that's going to tell you how I've set up my company so I don't feel that way. Because I wasn't panicked about going away at all. Like I knew I had the systems in place. We were running smoothly. Some things you just can't foresee, right? Like people, two people giving notice within 48 hours of each other and needing to find new team members. But beyond that, you can set it up to where you are going away and saying, hey, yeah, I'm going to be away and my business is still going to run smoothly. It's going to be great. I was so confident in our team. I was confident in our procedures and our processes, and they did amazing, like so, so, so well, incredibly. And really anybody can set up their company like that. If you have a company now and it's running smoothly, fantastic. If it's not, or if there's things, you know, you can improve on, and we can all improve on things. I'm actually currently in the process of optimizing and updating our processes and procedures because we're moving into a new practice management system. So there's always room for improvement. There always is. And if you're disgruntled and frustrated with how your company is running, then you definitely need to do it. I mean, I've said this so many times before, but if you're just doing something because you're like, oh, I'll just do it. Like so-and-so can't do it, or I can't possibly have somebody do this. First of all, you can. Second of all, you are wasting time, because if you spend even 5 minutes on some mundane admin task a day, just 5 minutes a day. Just like, oh, I'll just get this done because I can do it better. So-and-so just couldn't, somebody couldn't handle this for me. I need to do it. That's 30 hours a year that you are spending on something. That's 30 hours a year that you are spending on something that likely is not adding a ton of value to your company and is just keeping you from doing other better income generating tasks. 30 hours a year. That's a freaking work week almost. You could pay somebody to do something for 30 hours a year. I mean, just work on delegating, creating those systems and procedures and processes to get to a point where you're like, yeah, I can go away to Italy for 2 weeks. Hell, I could go away for a month. This would be so fun. Get to that point where you feel like that and going away won't seem like such an outlandish, unachievable thing because it's very achievable and very fun. I had an amazing time in Italy and I'm actually planning our next trip to go away for a longer period of time and even smaller trips. I'm going to Mexico next week for 5 days and I can't wait. And again, Mexico is not like going to Italy. It's much closer. There's no time difference. It's going to be a lot more of a luxurious trip and like a relaxing vacation rather than just like go, go, go type trip that we had in Italy. But still, not stressing about it. I know that everything's going to run. I know I'll be able to run the company. And it's an amazing feeling. It's a wonderful feeling to know that I can just say, I'm going to book that. It'll be great. And I'm still going to run my show and plan a bunch of other trips for the end of the year as well. If you love this episode, go comment on my last Instagram post saying what you'd like to hear next. I always love to hear your questions and your recommendations for topics to talk about on the podcast. Until next time.